Good evening, Rabbosai. Siman Tov, Reish, Peiches. We'll start again from Seif Aleph, we'll move on from there. We saw the Mishnah Berurah Seif Katan Aleph yesterday with the introduction and the background information with regards to Shushan Purim and the regular Purim. We're going to see a lot of these halachas now inside in Shulchan Aruch after having seen the introduction in Mishneh Berurah. Address the point why we go according to the times of Yeshua ben Nun as opposed to the times of Achashverosh, and why is it that we there's that distinction? So let's see Aleph in Shulchan Aruch. Kochem amukafim choyma, the walled cities which are surrounded by walls, Mimois Yeshua ben Nun, from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, Afilo ein mukafin achshav, even if nowadays there is no walls anymore, Korim betezvav, we read it on the 15th. Afilo im chutz laaretz, we line the Megillah on, even it doesn't make a difference. If there's a walled city in chutz laaretz, there's no difference at all. The same halacha would apply, if assuming that it's a walled city. Va'afilu ein bo'im asoro batlonim, even if there's no 10 batlonim in that city. So the 10 batlonim, we're going to see in a minute what that means, but the Rambam does explain already at this point. Perish betelim ha'melachton, these are 10 yidin who are betelim ha'melachton, they don't do any work. So batlonim is actually a very positive word in the Loshna Gemara. It's 10 people who betelim ha'melachton, they don't do regular work, they're not employed. Ve'oiskim betzorkei tzibur, they're available for communal services. They are the ones that the Gemara says if there's a need for a minyan, they'll be available for minyan. They're the ones who stay in the Beis Medrash and they help out when there's help needed. And these are the 10 batlonim. And a city is only really considered a city if there's 10 batlonim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, don't move into a city. There's various conditions. When you're like, well, what is the kind of city you want to move into or not? So it says he needs to have a whole list of things. And one of the things that you only go into a city where there's 10 batlonim. If there's no 10 batlonim, don't go into that particular city. Very interesting, yeah.
Were the batlonim paid by the
Kegila? That's a good question. I don't know if they actually got paid, if they had a regular wage, or they were just informally got paid. I'm not sure. I don't know. But they certainly didn't have any other jobs besides. They were just available. They were in shul. The Rashi says they were just hanging around in shul and they were available if somebody needs them. So he says that it doesn't really make a difference if the city has got batlonim or not. Either way, the point being, is it a walled city in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, or it's not a walled city in Yeshua? That's how we're going to decide if Purim is on the 15th or on the 14th. Nothing to do with the batlonim there or not batlonim there. Nothing to do with it being in Chutz Laaretz or in Eretz Yisrael. That's not the essential point. The point is, did he have walls in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, or did he not have walls in the times of Yeshua ben Nun? That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. By the way, I just want to emphasize, when were walls built in Prague? When were walls built in Prague? Anybody history here, Rabbi Sai? Any history? Prague. When were the walls in Prague built up?
After Yeshua ben Nun.
Prague. Rabbi Sai, Prague.
Hundreds of years.
15th century, that late? Because very interestingly, they do say, the poskim say, that out of Chutz Laaretz, the only city which is considered a Sofek, which may have had a wall at that time, is actually Prague. And some poskim call it a Sofek, Sofek, it comes within the Sofek. And therefore, we're going to see this some halachos with regards to sfeikas. And Prague is mentioned in the Achronim, in the late authorities, as one of the city being in Chutz Laaretz, being the only city in Chutz Laaretz, which may come into that category. I'm raising my hands if you're saying it's the 15th century. That's miles off. That's right. Very, very important point you're mentioning. It doesn't necessarily need to be, of course, it doesn't have to be the wall that is still existing now. Certainly not. It needs to have been a walled city in that generation. It doesn't have to be the wall. I mean, the wall that we're talking about in Yerushalayim is also not the walls that exist, the walls that are now physically still existing. It's not the walls of Yeshua Ben Nun anymore. These are walls out later. But we do know there was a wall in Yeshua Ben Nun's times. So if we're referring to the wall, 15th century, I wonder if that's the wall that are currently at. I mean, maybe there was a Yeshua, there was a settlement there, which that, you know, we don't know if the walls that may have been a wall and not present anymore. I don't know. I don't know. What's the first, is there any evidence of people living in... first evidence of people living in London.
Mudhouse.
When was that?
Barbarian mudhouse. Maybe places in Persia. They would have been
right.
Maybe places.
Okay. It's something I wonder if it's something that historians should investigate once. I think it's a really interesting topic because Suffolk, if there's even a doubt, if there's some sort of evidence, then it would imply that it's a Suffolk, and you'd have to. We'll see what halachas is with regards to war cities that we are in doubt. 14, 15, we're going to see these halachas then. But Lemaisa, in nowadays, the only city that is really considered certainly walled is, of course, Yerushalayim. That's the only city that is certainly walled nowadays, because that we've certain. Now, there is other cities, and there's quite a number of those cities in Eretz Yisrael, which go into the category of Suffolk. And this, as you're mentioning, this includes Tzvas, Tveria, Lod. That's right. Now, these are all considered fakers because although we do know there was a Yishuv then, we do know there was a settlement probably then, but we don't exactly know when the wall was built. And therefore, those cities are actually considered fakers, doubts, and we do the halachas accordingly. We're not 100% sure, so these will have halachas that we're going to see soon that are considered sfeikos, and we do the chumrah approach. Right, but Prague is also within that category. It's interesting. We'll have to,
The cities now, though, are obviously much, much larger.
Very good point.
So what do we do?
Very good question. That's a very interesting question. That actually applies to Yerushalayim itself, and that's a very, very important question. We'll see some of it later today. In Mitzvah later, we'll see that question. The question being that we know Yerushalayim, we're talking about Yerushalayim of Yeshua Ben Nun times. I mean, even that Yerushalayim of 150 years ago was a fraction of what it's nowadays. An absolute fraction. We know that it's been built and it's expanded in all directions. So the question that you are posing, very interesting question, is that, well, if we're saying Yerushalayim is considered a Tezvav, is on the 15th, what about the surrounding areas? And I'm adding to your question a bit that it's sometimes not completely connected. Sometimes, like Ramot, you have a whole, you actually need to go on the Kvish Ramot, and it's taking you, how long does it take to, from the heart of Yerushalayim to go there? It's taking a good few minutes. You have Shafat. You have other areas, which is it's a council and other parameters. It's considered Yerushalayim, but who says that's really considered Yerushalayim? So that's a very, very good question. We'll address that later, Mir Tzachem. That's certainly a very, very important question. Okay, we're up to. Let's just finish off Sif Aleph. It just defines a little bit with regards to that rule of walls. It defines it as follows: is it that we're saying there needs to be walled? Is for who this that needs to be walled? Shehukav ve'achkach yoshav. It needs to be first walled ve'achkach yoshav, and then it needs to be settled. Or alternatively, sheyoshav tchila. People settle there al das with intention la'akifoy. To construct the wall, achekach after that. So there was clearly always an intention to be surrounded by a wall. La'afuke, excluding, k'shenoyda sheyoshav tchila, people settled there on a non-permanent basis. Al das shenoy la'akifo, they never had intention to wall such, to make a wall around there. And eventually some sort of wall did happen. That's not what we consider a walled city. A walled city is something that was built initially on a permanent basis, and either they settled there with the idea we're gonna build a wall. That's either that, or they actually built the wall before they actually permanently settled there. So that's considered a walled city. A walled city needs to have been built initially with intention to settle there permanently. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here. Okay, just one little point with regards to the Batlonim that we mentioned. That Batlonim are not essential with regards to this discussion. The Batlonim, you don't need those Batlonim at all. Doesn't make a difference. Yes, Batlonim, no Batlonim. Doesn't make a difference. Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael. So Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Gimel just gives a little bit of background information regards to these Batlonim, which is something interesting to know. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Gimel, for oiskim betzorkei tzibur, they do communal services, says in the Mishnah Berurah Perush, Beis HaKnesses, they're normally to be found in the Beis HaKnesses. That's normally, if you need a batlan, you go to the Beis HaKnesses, says in the Mishnah Berurah. V'chen isa behedye begemara, that's what the Gemara says, in Sanhedrin and other places, ein chom beferish Rashi, tahaynu, what it means is, she'em kvuim tomid, lehashkim v'lehari beveis HaKnesses leispalel. They're always there. You never get stuck with them, and you need to have 10. There's 10 batlanim on them for a reason. Because you need to just, they are insurance, like it's the minion insurance type of thing. They're always there, and you never have to come and say, oh, are we 8? Are we 9? Hoshea Samecha, and counting, oh, they're always there, and you're never running into trouble for minion. That's the idea why you always need 10 batlanim on him. I mean, you could argue that 9 should be sufficient. You could argue. I don't know what the answer to that is, but, because obviously if somebody, you know, but I suppose, you know, you don't want to rely on anyone, you know, the batlanim themselves, they want to, so, yes, they want to just, you know, so.
As well, no visitors come.
Exactly, no, yeah, I suppose. So the batlanim, they are there, and they are always there for minyan, lehashkim, whether it's for shachiz, v'lehari, whether it's for marim in the evening, mincha marim in the evening, they're always going to be present. That's the batlanim. So it's actually a very positive term. Nowadays, we use batlanim for quite a, some negative, you know, we use, batlonim is like, there's a negative sound to it. Yeah, but that's not what the Gemara means. Gemara means batlonim, asor batlonim is something which is absolutely essential for the cities to have batlonim. Don't go into a city where there's no batlonim. Yeah, it's very interesting. By the way, just as a footnote, it's really interesting. The Gemara over there mentions quite, and the first paragraph of Sanhedrin, all the things that you need to look out for if you want to move into a city. It's one of the things that are batlonim, but it's other things as well. You need to have a moyel, you need to have a doctor maybe, it's not even sure, you might want probably a doctor, and there's other things as well. Yeah, I think it's mentioned as well, yeah. So there's a list of things, it's interesting Gemara. Safe base. V'chayin ha'kforim ha'neorim ha'mohem. Says the Shulchan Aruch now, which is addressing your point, the kforim, the villages, ha'neorim ha'mohem. The villages which are seen next to them. So, in other words, afilu einam smuchin kugoin shembuha. If you've got villages which are near a walled city, so say, take Yerushalayim as a real example. That's right. You've got next to the wall. Now, the wall meaning, not the wall, the har, the mountain meaning that you've got a walled city, and on a mountain, they can see an amount not particularly close, but not particularly far, I suppose, they can see Yerushalayim. So that's called a kfar, that's a village, which is invisible distance of that, in that wall, that the mountain, meaning that from the mountain you can see out a further distance. Because I suppose there's a, you know, you're higher up and you can see into the distance. So, again, v'chein ha'kforim, the villages, ha'nirim imohem, which are visible, afilu einam smuchin, even if they're not particularly close, k'goin such as she'em b'har, they are on a mountain. Alternatively, different scenario altogether, she'smuchim lohem, they all, alternatively, they're really close to Yerushalayim, as an example, afilu einam nirim imohem, k'goin she'behemek. If you've got another village, which is close to, in our case, Yerushalayim, which might not even be, you can't even see Yerushalayim, but it's really, really close, such as it's in a emek, in a valley, so you can't even see Yerushalayim because of you just can't see it, optically you can't actually see it, but it's really close, providing shalayu rechoikim yoytzim mil, it can't be further than a mil. So a mil is not very far. So if it's really close, it's within a mil, even if you can't see Yerushalayim, then this is all going to be going into the category of Yerushalayim. It's all going to be on the 15th. Either because it's, you can see it, even if it's far, or it's really close, even if you can't see it. Uve Shushan, now this is a new paragraph. Shushan, we mentioned yesterday, that Shushan actually is really ironic, because Shushan actually wasn't even walled in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So we addressed this point yesterday, that Shushan wasn't even walled in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So, afal pi she'einu kefes choyma mimos Yeshua, although it's not walled, it wasn't walled in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, nevertheless, Koirim Bet Azvav. We still read on the 15th. Why? Hoyil v'nase boyanes. Because ultimately, the nest, the miracle, happened there. So it would be inappropriate that, I mean, the nest referring to, as we addressed, we learned Mishnah Berurah yesterday, that the war went on for 2 days, as opposed to anywhere else where the war went on for 1 day only. So that's why it was another day was added. And because the nes was there, so therefore it's only appropriate that we should make Shushan Purim we should add that day there. Yeah.
The fighting happened everywhere, though. The nes maybe with the
well, the Mishnah Berurah puts it. Well, the Mishnah Berurah puts it. The way the Mishnah Berurah puts it in Sifkot and Aleph was Uve Shishan. I'm reading the Sifkot and Aleph. Shayudim shebechol mokim nilchemu b'yom yud gimel. Everybody fought on the 13th. V'nochu b'yom yud dalet, and they rested on the 14th. V'also oise mishter v'simcha. On the 14th they made Purim. Uve shish shushan, but on Shushan nitan layudim leilochem imakum gam b'yom yud dalet. On the in Shushan they were allowed. They were given permission to fight an additional another day on the 14th, and they only made Purim on the 15th. And therefore, it's only appropriate that on the 15th is kept as Purim in Shushan. Seif Gim, yeah.
Just, it's a different definition here. It's because Nasar Bohanes, yeah. Not that they were fighting.
Yeah, no, that is the reason that's a good point. What is Shulchan Aruch means to explain is that how come that since in the times of Yeshua ben Nun, there was no war then. So on that he says, yes, it's true, there is no war, but we're still going to do the 15th in Shushan because Hoiv and Asa Bo'nes. Seif Gimel. Kforim v'ayorois, cities and villages. Gdoilois, so Ayorois, Gdoilois, big cities. So Kforim, small villages, v'ayorois, Gdoilois, and big cities. V'krochim and cities she'enimu kofim, choyma, that were not walled. Mimois Yeshua ben Nun, in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Koirim beYudalet, we'll read them on Yudalet. We'll read them on Yudalet. Now, the Mishnah Berurah over here is really, really relevant. Sifkot and Ches is really relevant for Eretz Yisrael. Not so much for over here. But can you have somebody who lives in Yerushalayim and just went for the day? That's really relevant in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who lives in Yerushalayim, can he go on Purim on the 14th? Can he go and line? He's an expert Baal Koir for the Megillah. Can he line the Megillah when it's not his Purim? But it's the Purim of that particular place. Say Yerushalayim, Baal Koira, live in Yerushalayim. He's going on the 4th day before he's trying to visit his aunt. He wants to visit his auntie in Kfar Chabad. And he wants to know if he can read the Megillah there or not. Or vice versa. Can you, if you're not a Yerushalayimer, can you... you're from a regular, you know, can you read the Megillah in Yerushalayim or not? Yeah.
Person.
Well, you're actually addressing Steve Hay, but we're assuming for the moment that it's the person.
The question is if a person anyway who lives in Kfar
Chabad
and goes to
Yerushalayim. Good. You're saying is actually very interesting. That's good to receive Hay. But the Mishnah Berurah over here is just an important rule for us to know. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Ches says the following. Third wide line. Whoever has the halacha that he needs to read on the 15th, Einoy Yochoil Likroy. He cannot read Veliftoy and to exempt Livnei Yudalet BeYudzdalet. He cannot exempt and pater a person on the 14th because he's a 15er. Does that make sense to call him a 15er? That's but you're right, and this is absolutely accurate. Can you repeat your words? That. Good. So the point you say, since he's not a bar chiyuv, he's not an obligation. He's got no obligation now. So how can he be with somebody else? So you're absolutely right. This is actually the key point. But the argument of here would have been that actually he is a bar chiyuver. Just hold on a minute until tomorrow, and he'll be a bar chiyuv. He's not like a lady. He's not like a child. He is a bar chiyuver. Good. Okay. Yeah. You're right, but he's actually bar chiyuv. You're actually right. I'm just explaining what the chiddush over here. That actually could have argued, well, he is a bar chiyuv. He's got an obligation to listen to the Megillah. He's got an obligation over here, but it just hasn't. He hasn't. You know, it's not the relevant day. And so good. Okay, but it's not really like a Thursday. It's not really like a Thursday. Yeah.
Can't can't be appointed just like a shaliach for them. He's doing it for
all. Well, he's not within. We're learning over here that it says the Mishnah Berurah, he's addressing your point a bit. Also, vice versa, if your obligation on the 15th, you can't part on the 14th, and vice versa. Since now he's not obligated. So the point, if it's the 14th, so he's got no obligation, he's not his obligation now, he needs to wait for tomorrow, his obligation is not relevant now. And vice versa as well, yeah. He can't be moitzi. Ah, if somebody else makes the bracha. I'm not sure, I have to think about this for a minute. What do you think, Abba Isai? If somebody else makes the bracha, he can't be moitzi. He won't be able to be moitzi. You won't be able to be mitzi because it's not. He won't be able to be mitzi.
He's
not Baal Chiyuva. Either way, the mitzvah is to hear the Megillah, and you need to hear it off a Baal Chiyuv. This is not a Baal Chiyuv because the mitzvah is the Shmias HaMegillah. Good point. Yeah, I have to think for a minute. Now he does say, and I'm not sure how the Mishnah Berurah does say, "V'aprima godim kosav de b'diavad im bekrach kol even yudalet b'yudalet yotzo." He said, "B'diavad, you actually b'yotze in that way around." That's how the Mishnah Berurah sounds like he paskins. Interesting, that way around. He would say that b'diavad yotze. Now says the Mishnah Berurah, it's Shulchan Aruch in Seif Dalet krach. Okay, that may be relevant certainly for some cities in Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned Tzfas. Have you ever been in Eretz Yisrael on Purim in one of the sfeikos, in one of the doubts? Even Bnei Brak. Yeah, where Bnei Brak. Yeah, how did you Bnei Brak? Of course, when Yeshiva in Bnei Brak.
It's a lot of drinking.
The Yeshiva Lane himself. Why is Bnei Brak a Sofek? Because of Yafa, that's right. Yafo is one of the sfeikos. Yafo is one of the sfeikos. We're not sure when the wall was built in Yafo, and it's attached. You can see it, and it's an ongoing settlement. So it's so there is machmirim. There are machmirim. You said the Yoshiv was machmir. Yeah. So krach shu sofek. Says Shulchan Aruch, a city that is a walled city that is sofek. We're not sure. We're in doubt. Im hukuf b'mei Yeshua, im lav. Was it walled in the times of Yeshua, or was it not walled in the times of Yeshua? The halacha is koyrim beyudalet. We read it on the 14th, uve tesvav, and on the 15th, uve leileyon, and on their nights. V'lo yevorech, but you're not going to make a bracha ki im beyudalet. You are going to make a bracha on the 14th. You're not going to make a bracha on the 15th. Because that's where most people read and make a bracha. Wow. What do you think about this, Rabbi Isai? Again, a city that we're not sure, was it walled? Was it not walled in times of Yeshua? What's the halacha? You're going to read on the 14th and you're going to read on the 15th. And on their nights as well. What about bracha? Can't make a bracha on the 15th. You do make a bracha on the 14th. Why is that? Because that's where most people read. You can make a bracha then as well. What do you think about that, Rabbi Isai? Yeah, but 14 is also a suffix. You could argue. You're right. That it's interesting. The bracha bit is interesting. I was very bothered about this. Abayisa, what do you think about that? Oh, Zelba Sfek Sfeker. So what are you saying?
It's not a suffix of a suffix. It's a kind of two-way suffix, right? In the case of a two-way suffix, you have to do like the vast majority of the world.
Right. You'd go over. You see, I'll tell you, the emissary is what you are saying. Is everybody hearing what Rabbi Ossel says? Rabbi Ossel says that the question is, why do you make a bracha on the 14th? You could argue, don't know if it was walled, don't know if it wasn't walled. I don't know anything. So I can't make a bracha on the 15th. Because maybe it wasn't walled. And now you could argue, can't make a bracha on the 14th, because maybe it was walled. You could argue that way. But I'm wrong. Because the Shulchan Aruch says, you can't make a bracha on the 15th, fair enough, but you do make a bracha on the 14th. Now my question was, why can you make a bracha on the 14th? Maybe it was walled. Yeah, I know, but maybe it's the...
But you do read it.
You can't so I'll tell you what, let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says.
You can't all vacate a city, it's just not practical.
See, so you are saying that the reason why we make a bracha is because you're going to the majority. Does everybody agree to that? Because most places were not walled, right? We only know of a handful of places that were, you know, it's not. Yeah, that's right. That's an interesting point. I'm bothered about that as well. Yeah. So what would you think about it? What would you do? A place they don't know if it was walled or not. What would you say? You'd go with the majority.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what the Maaseh Shulchan Aruch paskens. That's true. Let's see what the Mishnah Mishnah Cotton Yudi gives us a couple of interesting points over here. Karen be Yudalad with Tezvav. Venoyak. Oh, I forgot this point. Let's just go to Sifkot Yud Aleph and let them go back to Sifkot Yud. V'lo yevorech, sha'abrocha afilo b'mitzvah shel Torah u'midrabanan. This is a very important rule, Rabbi Yisai. Even for, this is very relevant in many areas of halacha. The brocha is always going to be the command, the halacha of making a brocha, Rabbi Yisai, is always midrabanan. Even on a mitzvah d'oraisa, the brocha is always going to be midrabanan. The rule of making a bracha. So he says, "Shabrocha afilu b'mitzvah shel Torah u'midrabanan." V'im kein, therefore, b'dovo shu sofek. Here went out le'enyin habrocha sofek d'rabanan. The bracha is always a sofek d'rabanan. V'kol shken b'zeh. Certainly, in this case of you, shu mitzvah shel Torah divrayim. The whole idea of reading the Megillah is only rabbinical. So you've got a doubt of you. Can I make a bracha? Can I not make a bracha? You've got a sofek of a d'rabanan. Lekula elmat en tzarich bracha. So therefore, on the 15th, you certainly should make a bracha. Sofik d'rabanan. There is no bracha, as far as I know. What's that? Yeah, benching. Yeah, right. We're talking about. That's right. What he's talking about is a birkas hamitzvahs. Even if the mitzvah is d'oraisa, shaking lulav, eating matzah, the mitzvah is d'oraisa, is a Torah mitzvah. Its bracha is only mit d'rabanan. It's always. That's true. There is brachas, which are itself d'oraisa. Yeah. Okay. But he explains now why on the 14th you're going to make a bracha. Umashim vach b'yudalet. That you do make a bracha on the 14th. Mishum de b'yoyim yudalet v'zman kriya l'roi v'oylam. That on the 14th, that's when most people read. And therefore, you can assume, well, it's going to be either 14th or 15th. So I suppose, as you pointed out, we're going to go according to the majority. I want to finish off with one interesting Mishnah Berurah over here, who addresses the following point. If I were to ask you, in those cities that you don't know, Tzvas, Tver, Yafa, those cities that nowadays, yeah, and the halacha is, we just learned now, you'd read on the 15th, you read on the 14th with the bracha. I would ask you, when you do, we only addressed Kiyas HaMegillah. Well, there's something which we haven't mentioned at all. What about Matanas Lev Yoinim? What about all the other? What are you doing with those? 14th?
Do it both.
You're saying do it both? Do it both. Very. You're saying 14th? Because that's, yeah? What about Matanas Lev Yoinim? When are you going to drink? Both. One day before, one day after, just in case, you know, it's fake at the Yom.
Maybe it's a question. About Tosef, we do all the
good question. It is a good question. The answer is, on a Sofik, there's never about Tosef. That's one answer. But there's other answers as well. So the Mishnah Berurah says over here, and that's only half an answer. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Niyud says, Kerem B'Yudalad V'Tezvav, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'Noyagin, Simcha, the Simcha, U'matonez Lev Yoinim, and Matonez Lev Yoinim, Pish Nayim, you'll do on both. You'll have your wine both days, and Matonez Lev Yoinim on both as well. But hold on, there's still something missing over here. Mishnah Berurah hasn't fully answered our question, because he's addressing Simcha, Matonez Lev Yoinim. What's missing? Two things are missing, pardon? Yes, yeah, so Suda, I suppose, will be the Simcha, I suppose. Yeah? But there's certainly something else missing. Mishlach Manas. What about Mishlach Manas? And something else as well.
Dressing up.
Yeah, good. Yeah, dressing up. Good. But there's still Alanisim missing as well. So Mishnah Berurah does not address Alanisim. Very important for us to know. And also Mishlach Manas. And Mishnah Berurah keeps us in a big dilemma over here. And this is a dilemma. This is a big problem. Mishnah Berurah is Paskin, Simcha Matanas Lev Yoinim. You do on both days, but the Mishnah Berurah does not paskin. It is a mystery why the Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention anything. It, very good. So that actually, right, so you could argue, and this is relevant with Purim Shulish, which we're going to be learning tomorrow. You're right, you could argue. But it is a problem, yeah.
That
I'm saying because Mishloach Manos goes together with Suda generally.
Generally, definitely, that's they are connected, very, very heavily connected. The Emma says this remains a machlokes. It remains a machlokes until contemporary poskim. What do you do with Alanisim and what do you do with Mishloach Manos? It remains a machlokes at poskim, and there's no consensus. Some say you do on the 14th. Some say you do on both. It's a machlokes, and it's a machlokes. It's a mamash machlokes, yeah.
The fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention it.
Some do.
You just follow what you do with
yes.
the Gila.
Yes. Some.
You just follow whatever you do with the Kriv.
It could be. You could argue. Well, the key, you do both days.
Yeah, so
but even the key is not approved because.
You do all the
you can't really be Medayik from the Megillah. Because within the Megillah itself, you see there's a very big distinction. 14th with a bracha, 15th without a bracha. So it's not evident from the reading that you do both, that it's exactly the same.
There's nothing to be lost by doing all of
that. With regards to Alanisim, you're right. So that's what some poets can say, you can't tell Alanisim both because it's not considered a hefzik. Maybe. And Mishloach Manos can't do any harm either to get an additional wine. Okay. As I suppose, as long as you make a deal, you know, give it back to me tomorrow.
You go into the category of the goggle that said a few weeks ago, the ball you said about the goggle.
Yeah, can't do it. Yeah, maybe. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll carry on to my mitzvah.